This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Everyone, Scott Moore filling in once again for Earl Robinson on Sports Talk 870. The phone number is 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or if you're outside of the immediate calling area, you can call toll free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. We've got a good show planned for you today. We will spend a little bit of time open line. I've got a couple of topics that I want to throw out there for you. Also, later on in the show, we will be checking in with Stephen Parker. If you haven't heard the name Stephen Parker, the reason we'll be talking with him today is that he is the president of the Lansing Curling Club. I just recently found out that there was such a thing as the Lansing Curling Club. And if you would like to get involved in curling, he will give you all of the information. That's coming up in a few minutes. And we're also trying to catch up right now with Megan Bauman, the newest addition to our staff at the Spartan Sports Network. She's been down in Chicago for the last couple of days at the Big Ten Media Days. And so we'll be checking in with Megan in just a moment. To get her take on what went on in the Windy City here this weekend. Again, the number is 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or you can call toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. And we do have some things that... I can recap for you out of the world of sports. Let's take a look at the sports wire. You know, the Tigers have been on a roll lately, and that roll came to an end last night. So unfortunately, it was Justin Verlander on the mound for the Tigers. As I try to find the information that I'm looking for here, it was Verlander who fell 5-3 to the Cleveland Indians last night. Carlos Santana and Travis Hafner tied it at 3-3 by homering on the first two pitches of the seventh inning, a four-run seventh inning for Cleveland last night. Joe Smith threw two pitches to get the win. He got Miguel Cabrera to ground into an inning-ending double play in the top half of that inning. Vinny Pestano pitched the eighth. Chris Perez pitched the ninth for his 29th save in 31 chances. Jason Kipnis followed Cabrera with another RBI single as Cleveland took 2 of 3 in the series, dropping Detroit a half game behind the idle Chicago White Sox in the AL Central. With the Tigers being a half game behind the Chicago White Sox, it brings to mind that the trade deadline is looming in Major League Baseball coming up next week. And caught this little bit of information on the wire today. The Brewers have gone on the record as saying that they will field offers for Zach Greinke, who was the 2009 American League Cy Young Award winner. The Texas Rangers, the Los Angeles Angels, and the Atlanta Braves are reportedly interested. And that brings up the question, what do you think about the Tigers trying to throw their baseball cap in that ring? Do the Tigers need another starting pitcher like Zach Greinke? Who knows? That could turn out to be a big advantage for the Tigers to have another quality pitcher in that rotation. You know, Max Scherzer seems to be picking things up here lately. Jacob Turner just was recently dealt. Rick Porcello may be turning things around for the Tigers, but in my mind, there's always room for another good quality starting pitcher on a staff. So, you know, should the Tigers be looking at Zach Greinke? And if so, what do they move to get Zach Greinke? They've got some talent coming up. You know, the team is pretty much stocked as far as outfielders. Infielders, they just took care of a need by bringing Omar Infante in to play at second base. So the infield looks solid as far as the starters now. So you can look at your players that are at AAA and maybe even some players at AA if the Brewers are looking at the possibility of getting some players that can help them down the road, and certainly not right away. I mean, that's kind of the way that things go with baseball at the trading deadline. You know, the teams that are going to be sellers decide, okay, it's over for this year. We got to move the folks that are going to be free agents at the end of the season, try to get something for them, and try to make it something that will help us at some point down the road. So what do you think? Zach Greinke, would he look good in the Old English D? You can give us a call at 355-9527, or you can call toll-free at 877-WKAR-870 and let us know what you think about that. And now I'm being told that we have connected with our first guest of the afternoon. She is the new person on our staff at Spartan Sports Network. Megan Bauman joins us now over the telephone. And I mentioned yesterday, you're the new kid at the network, although, Megan, you're certainly familiar with MSU sports. Let's start off by introducing yourself to the audience and tell them a little about yourself.
Okay. Just to let everyone know, my name is Megan. I just graduated from Michigan State in May with a degree in journalism and a concentration in sports reporting. And the reason I work at the Spartan Sports Network is I was a board op for them for a few months. So, you know, kind of opportunity came along, and that's what I'm doing now.
And you're not certainly a rookie as far as being on the air at either. You've been on the air right here at Michigan State.
I have. I did 2 years at the Impact. I co-hosted the Spartan Sports Wrap with a kid named Dave. And we did that for 2 years, and I enjoyed it a lot. We talked a lot about sports and everything. So, like you said, I'm pretty familiar with MSU.
Well, Megan, you're on your way back from your first Big Ten Media Day in Chicago. What was your overall impression of this get-together?
Oh, it's so much different. I mean, when I first started doing sports internships and stuff, it was all high school, and this is just a bigger, you know, atmosphere, and it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It was cool to see all these coaches. Adam and I were pretty impressed with Urban Meyer. We were excited to see him, and it was just really neat. It's because, you know, I grew up watching it on TV or seeing them from the student section on the field, all these players and these coaches, and it was kind of cool to be not up close and personal, but kind of closer to them and able to ask them questions that you've been wondering, you know, for a while.
Now, you know, everybody who has covered one of these things knows that most of the coaches, all they do is what we call coach speak. But were there any juicy little tidbits hanging around there that you could come up with? Or was it pretty much all coach speak?
It was a lot of coaches. it was a bummer for the players that were sitting there, too, as they couldn't. It was a lot of Penn State stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, it was a lot of, you know, coaches talking. Everyone's asking the coach about recruiting and all that kind of stuff. So there wasn't a whole lot of juicy details that I could get for you. But
Well, Michigan State was well represented there. Coach Mark D'Antonio was there, and he chose to bring along a couple of juniors, Andrew Maxwell and Max Bulla, along with senior mm-hmm. Chris Norman. How did mm-hmm. they deal, in your impression, with all the media attention there?
They did really well. Andrew Maxwell is a very well-spoken person. I know everyone's saying, or he's saying, he doesn't like to be compared to Kirk because he is Andrew Maxwell, but he's as well-spoken as Kirk was. Chris Norman, also a very, very well-spoken guy. He had some good answers and all that. And Max Bulla, you know, he's his own person. He's funny. We asked him about Michigan today, and you could tell he had a little fire behind his eyes, but he kept it pretty calm. But they gave some good answers, and they were very well composed, and just like Mark D'Antonio is every time, they did a very good job with the media.
Well, now, one of the things that you're going to be working on for the Spartan Sports Network is video features now on SpartanSportsNetwork.com. We haven't had a video component to it. What are some of the kind of things that you're going to be working on here as we get ready to debut the video, I believe, next week?
Well, as we get going, we've talked a little bit about doing game previews. As soon as we start going and stuff, we'll have a lot more B-roll, a lot more highlights, which will be cool, so we can put those in. That's some stuff we're going to do throughout the week, just have a preview to the game coming up based on previous games. And we've also talked about doing some features on some of the players, you know, kind of getting to know them, get to know the kind of person they are, put those on. Those are just a couple of things we're talking about. We're expanding more with it. We'll probably get more ideas as the season keeps going. But that's what we're starting off with, I think, as right now.
As far as the things that you got in Chicago, is it going to be mostly Michigan State-oriented, or did you do some interviews with some of the other players and coaches that were there?
Today, we did Michigan State. We did the three players that came with them. But yesterday, I was able to video every single team. So we have all 12 Big Ten teams. We can work with all those, and so we'll see what we can get from them and maybe do some, you know, quotes from them for some of the videos that we do. So we were able to get them all, which was nice, and it was kind of a cool thing for us to do.
Now, out of the entire 2 days that you were down there, from the start to the end, what was the one thing you think that made the biggest impression on you?
Oh, the thing that made the biggest impression on me. You know, that's a tough question. It was just, there were so many people there. And I think that was the thing that not surprised me, but the thing that kind of struck me the most, all the media attention that comes there. And I do understand there are 12 teams, but it's just, there were so many people. There was a guy who walked up to me from Lincoln, Nebraska, and started talking to me about what was going on. So it was cool, I guess, to see people from all over the place, and we all kind of talked and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's what made the biggest impression on me.
Well, he's pretty much a newbie, too. He may have thought that you were an old vet. Well, Megan Bauman, thanks for joining us a little bit here today and introducing yourself to the audience. We're looking forward to, as I mentioned, we'll have some video features up on SpartanSportsNetwork.com probably sometime next week. And then as we get closer to the start of the regular season, we'll see you more and more.
Right. Thank you, Scott.
All right. Thank you, Megan. That's Megan Bauman from SpartanSportsNetwork.com. It is 18 minutes after the top of the hour in the capital city, and it is a balmy 81 degrees outside. When we come back, we'll take it inside into the ice rink and talk a little bit of curling with Stephen Parker from the Lansing Curling Club. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870.
Well, a massive drought and climbing sea levels spur presidential candidates to talk about climate change. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at why science is a non-issue in the election again. Plus, microchips the size of your thumb that can mimic human organs. All on Science Friday from NPR.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 right here on AM 870.
Good afternoon. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. Rain and scattered thunderstorms, the high today in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy tonight, and we could see some more rain and thunderstorms. Look for a low of 61. Saturday and Sunday, mostly sunny, with highs in the low 80s both days.
And we are back, and again, the temperature in the capital city as we speak is 81 degrees. The phone number is 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or you can call toll-free 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. Well, I promised that we would cool things off for you a little bit, and that is exactly what we're going to do right now as we check in with some curling news for you. Stephen Parker joins us from the Lansing Curling Club. And, Stephen, I checked out your website this morning and saw that the club actually was started back in the 1960s, but the current incarnation is a little bit newer than that, isn't it?
That's correct. Scott. And thank you for having me on this morning. We started 2 years ago in 2010. We were sort of a paper club, if you will. And so we did rent some ice the last 2 years, but this year we'll actually be able to curl locally. So we're very excited about it.
Now, you know, that was the one thing that hit me when I first heard about the Lansing Curling Club is that, you know, it's not something where you can just walk onto an ice rink and do it because of the markings. Where did you guys start off playing? Where'd you have to go?
Well, we went to Detroit the first year, back in 2010, 2011. They have a rental program there, and we got about 24 dedicated people to go down there and and participate. You have to definitely. It's more of a complicated sport than people realize, and it's certainly more of a thing where you have to be safe out there. So you have to go through a little bit of a training session, and yes, exactly. It's something where it's like golf. It takes a short time to learn and a long time to master.
Oh, I'll bet it does. Now that you've got a place here in town, is this a facility that's going to put the markings down the ice and leave them there for you all season long?
We have it arranged with the Summit. We're going to go ahead and paint on the 27th and start off curling on September 10th. So we'd love to have a long-term relationship with the facility, and we're going to curl there for 2 years.
Now, for those who may not be familiar with the game of curling, what are some of the rules? Run us through it.
Well, the basic objective of curling is to have more of your stones at the end of an end, which is basically like a baseball inning, closer to the button, which is the middle of the target, than the other team. So if you've got three stones sitting closer to that button than that, than your opposition's closest stone, you get 3 points. So there's usually about eight to ten ends, depending on the setting, or whether this is an international tournament or a local tournament or a regional event. Basically you add up the ends, and the team with the most rocks wins.
Now, how many members are there in the Lansing Curling Club right now?
We have a total of about 18 members right now. However, we're doing a pretty big membership drive this August with several events, and there's been a lot of interest. We've done a survey of people who we have contact information for, and we anticipate doubling that number.
Well, we may have found you a new member here, too. Harold, who's running the board for me today, when I mentioned Lansing Curling Club, he got all excited, and I asked, have you ever done it? He said, no, never done it myself, but he's interested. So he may be coming out to see you as well. How did you get involved in curling, Stephen?
Well, I want to go way back when I was a child, and I read about it in this book of sports, and I thought it looked ridiculous. The first time I actually saw it, as we were my wife and I, Dawn, were thumbing through some channels back about 12 years ago, and we saw this international event. I think it was Sweden and Canada, two prominent curling countries. And I was just glued to the television. I don't think I could take my eyes off it. It was bizarre. It was fascinating. I was struck by the intensity of the competition, the intensity of the play involved, how much really physical activity there is. And the amount of, there's a lot of intellect in this game. It's very much a chess on ice, a thinking person's game. And just trying to follow the strategy alone is it could be quite daunting if you haven't been doing it for years and years and years. But I'm still learning, and I think that's what's one of the great things about curling is you're always learning.
We're talking with Stephen Parker, the president of the Lansing Curling Club. They are going to be starting out at the Summit in September with playing. A match? Is it a match? Is it a draw?
It's called a draw.
Okay.
In curling terms, a draw is like a game. You'll hear it called a game sometimes too, even by curling aficionados, but. Yes, a draw is the typically one night's worth of curling for a team.
Okay. If you join the club, do you have to have your own team, or do you make teams out of all the members, or how does that work?
Well, we try to, when we're doing our membership drive, we're trying to match people fairly evenly based on experience, based on how often you've curled, during previous years, what positions you played. So we try to make it even. People are certainly welcome to sign up as a team, but mostly we feel that this will be people who never curled before, like Harold. That's going to be 90% of who who joins us this year and participates. So we will definitely match anyone up individually on a team, and we think it works best that way.
Okay. All right. Now, what about the gear involved? Do you have to bring your own broom? Do you have to supply your own gear, or is there rental gear available?
Wonderful thing about curling, especially in a local club like us, is you don't need to bring anything. Basically, the important thing is to dress, you know, modestly, warmly. You don't want to wear blue jeans or anything tight, but you need to have a lot of flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
So sneakers are usually a good thing. Now, I myself, I'm fully outfitted, so I've got special curling shoes, and the curling shoes actually have the Teflon slider on the bottom, which is part of the game. You have to have some kind of a slider surface on one of your shoes.
I was going to say, it's broom. just one shoe that you want the slider on, though.
That is correct.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, when you're not delivering the stone down the ice, you want to make sure that you are you have safe shoes on.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, that involves what's called a gripper. When you put I put a gripper over my sliding shoe while I'm not delivering the stone.
Okay.
But we have brooms. Of course, the stones belong to the club. Unlike golf, where you have to bring your bag of clubs, this is something where you can come as you are, basically.
Okay. And if somebody tries it a couple of times, decides they like it, I'm sure there are websites where you can order the gear that you would need.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are many specialty companies where you can mail order stuff. We also plan to try to get Debbie McCormick out here in November. She is a U.S. national champion, and she has a line of products.
Okay.
And hopefully that'll be something that people can take advantage of as well.
Now, if somebody has caught the bug just from this interview and they say, boy, I want to try that, I want to join that club, what do they do?
It's pretty easy. You go to info@lansing.com. If you wanted us to email you back with more information, or you could also go directly to lansingcurls.com, and there's a link. There's a link right there. Excuse me, I apologize. I should say .org. info@lansingcurls.org, or the website is lansingcurls.org.
Okay.
And there's a link right there for you can sign up online. There are four levels of membership. There's the $125 level, which is the full membership, and that gives you all the rights as a club member, discounts on all of our leagues, and also you become a member of the United States Curling Association and the Regional Association, which is the Great Lakes Curling Association. There's also two other levels of membership. There's a student membership, which is $50.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, we hope to get quite a few MSU students involved in some college curling,
mm-hmm.
which we'd like to get started. There's also a youth membership typically for high school age or younger. That's $25 a year. And then there's also a $50 social membership if you basically just want to support the club, be able to step in sometimes and curl. So that's for $50.
Now,
Go ahead.
If
you go to lansingcurls.org, there's an online link. You could also download a form and send in a check with your membership application.
Now, if somebody, that's what somebody does if they're gung-ho right now. I want to join. I want to do it. What about if somebody's thinking, I'm not so sure. Can they come out to the summit and just watch for a couple of games and say, this looks like something I'd enjoy?
Well, absolutely. The great thing about the venue that we're curling in, the Olympic-sized sheet at the summit, has about 1,000 feet viewing there.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who wants to just come watch, certainly they can do that at any time. We also are doing open curling on Thursdays, where someone could come in. They need to take a course, a safety course. In fact, I believe our training person says that we have two training courses, the 1 half-hour long that's off the ice, and then you go through a half-hour course on the ice, and then you could do 4 hours of an actual game. So that's $25 a visit for doing that. So there's definitely multiple chances to watch and learn and a chance to actually I could participate.
Well, that all sounds great. Stephen, I wish you luck with the endeavor, and if I can get out and take a look at some of the action, I think I'm going to try that, because I have always wanted to try curling myself. You know, I think I mentioned to your wife, Dawn, that there is a curling building just within a block of the rink where they play hockey up in Fairbanks, Alaska. The Fairbanks Curling Club, and a lot of people have seen the inside of that club because of a Prilosec commercial that aired a few years ago. It was based at the Fairbanks Curling Club, and I've always tried to get the coaching staff to set up a day for the players to go in and do some curling there, and it just has never worked out. So I'm going to try it one more time. We got our last trip to Fairbanks this year, and I'm going to try to get these guys out on the curling sheet and see what they can do.
Well, that's great. We love to have groups out there, and I know there's a high school wrestling coach that wants to have his kids come see us. And Scott, we hope to see you out there, and I appreciate you having me on.
All right, that's Stephen Parker. Thanks again for the time. See, I know you're on vacation right now, so enjoy the rest of your vacation. Thanks for taking some time to join us.
Thank you, Scott.
All right. That's Stephen Parker from the Lansing Curling Club. And again, that address, the web address is lansingcurls.org. Or if you want to send them an email, you can send it to info@lansingcurls.org. It is now 1:32 on Friday afternoon. 82 degrees outside, and we are open line for the remainder of the program. Of course, you know, I mentioned the whole deal with the Tigers and what's going on with them and whether they should be looking at a player like Zach Greinke. I'm going to bring back a topic that we talked about a little bit yesterday, the fact that, like Steven, I am leaving on vacation tomorrow, and for the first time since 2004, I am firing up the tent. And we're going up north, and we'll be camping in a tent. Now, I did manage to get the tent set up in the backyard last weekend, so I know what I'm doing, and hopefully I won't look like too much of a fool when I'm setting it up in the state park tomorrow afternoon. But if you have any tips for me, because like I said, it has been since 2004, since I've done this, it's been 8 years. In other words, I've slept since the last time, and all the memory is gone. So if you have some hints for me, some tips for a successful camping trip, call us up at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or you can call toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. Another note that I wanted to pass along while we wait for some phone calls here, the Capital City Stealth. Have you ever heard of the Capital City Stealth? It is a football team, and they're doing quite well. They're 5-2 on the season so far. They play their home games down at Matt Goble Field in Charlotte. And their final home game of the season is coming up on Saturday night at 7 p.m. They're going to take on the Detroit Seminoles. And the Greater Lansing Sports Authority sent out a little note inviting folks to head on down to Charlotte and cheer for your hometown team, the Capital City Stealth, as they try to make it into the playoffs in their conference. So head on down to Charlotte on Saturday. Game time is 7 p.m. And we want you to cheer on the Capital City Stealth. The Stealth was not the team at the time back in the dark ages when I broke in, but my first play-by-play gig. Notice I did not say my first paying play-by-play gig, but my first play-by-play gig in the Lansing area was with a team of that level. It was called the Lansing Crusaders, played their home games out at Hazlett High School, and I did play-by-play for the Crusaders for 3 or 4 years. They played the games back on public access TV, and I had an absolute blast doing it. The games are fun. Head on down to Charlotte, and we are going to head to the phones right now and say hi to Jerry from Hazlett. Jerry, how you doing today?
Pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, I was just calling. You said if you had any tips about camping.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you had your tent set up in the backyard. You know, I do the same thing whenever I go camping, but don't forget to waterproof it.
Uh-huh.
You always go buy a couple of cans of waterproofing and spray that tent and seal the seams in your
seal
tent.
The seams.
Otherwise, you will have a miserable time if it starts to rain. Also, it's real convenient. Take a couple of tarps. You always need one to put under your tent.
Yep, I got that.
And then take an extra one just to put over if it really gets to be bad raining weather. I've been through it, and I've Sierra cups to kind of bail water out of the tent. You don't want to go there.
Oh. Okay. Well, the tent that I have actually has a little fly that goes over it, so that's a good idea. But I think getting a can of waterproofing, I think, is going to be a good idea.
Yeah, and you need to waterproof that fly, too. I've been through really bad weather in tents all over the world, and I can tell you, you need to make sure it is. And the other thing is, make sure your stove works before you leave home.
Before you get up there, huh?
Oh, yeah, because you don't want to go searching for parts in, God's country.
Well, I've got this evening to look at that aspect of it. So the stove is up off of the shelf in the basement. We've got some propane tanks, so we're good with that. And you're right. That is probably a very good idea. So I will get that all checked out before we head off on our vacation. Anything else on your mind today, Jerry?
No, that's all. Just looking forward to seeing the Olympics, especially track and field, and of course gymnastics. But really, track and field more than anything.
Well,
my wife's really interested in track and field, but she wants, because our daughter was so involved in gymnastics for 15 years or so. But I'm really looking forward to track and field.
That was one of the things that I hadn't gotten to yet. Is track and field your favorite Olympic sport? Is that the one thing that always gets you?
Yeah, because I was a kid in the 50s, so track and field was always, and all the big track meets that were going on back then were always the things that were interesting about, those are the things that were most televised of Olympic-type sports.
Sure.
And gymnastics were, they weren't that popular, as popular as they are now. So it was more fun for me growing up watching track and field, and I'm still kind of addicted. Then my daughter, not only gymnastics, she was also in track, so I spent many hours on benches.
I was lucky. My daughters did indoor sports.
Yeah, well, gymnastics was the only one.
Right.
But just sitting on those benches in the snow and the rain, watching track, for hour after hour. But, I just really enjoy track and field. That's probably my favorite for the Olympics. But
I would imagine that in the Lansing area, especially, gymnastics is going to be a huge draw because of Jordan Weber being from DeWitt, just up north here.
Yeah. I think that's what got even people that aren't interested in gymnastics, they're going to be watching that too, I'm pretty sure.
Exactly.
Just to see how she does and, to see if she can really pull it off and win the gold. But that'll be fun too. But I'm really looking forward to seeing some of the track things. Men and women, especially the short distances, and maybe even up to the 1600 and 3200. I mean, those are kind of fun too, because the marathon is interesting, but, you don't stay tuned in and watch all the way.
Yeah, that one takes a while. Just a bit.
But good luck camping and have a good time.
All right, Jerry, thanks for the advice. I'm going to follow your advice there.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot. That's Jerry checking in from Hazlitt. You can check in as well, 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR if your phone has the little letters on the numbers. Or you can dial in toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. How about that? Get your thoughts in mind about what your favorite Olympic event is, and especially if it's one of the ones that doesn't draw a whole lot of attention. Maybe you participate in a martial art like judo, and maybe you're going to want to watch that. Give us a call and let us know all about that. We're going to take another quick break, and we will be back with more in just a moment after this short break right here on WKAR AM 870.
Hey, you want to schmooze with a Nobel Prize winner? Now's your chance. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for Ask an Astrophysicist with Adam Reese. It's your chance to run your theory of the universe by an expert. Plus, how scientists are studying resilience and a tribute to the late Sally Ride. All on Science Friday from NPR.
That is Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Look for rain and scattered thunderstorms today. Our high will be 78 degrees. The low tonight, 61 and partly cloudy. There's a chance of some more rain and thunderstorms tonight. It'll be mostly sunny with highs in the low 80s both days over the weekend. This is Scott Paul.
Thank you very much, Scott. And our temperature is indeed 78. We're down a couple of degrees already here in the capital city. And he said that 78 would be the high. And wouldn't you know it, Scott is right on top of that. Our phone number, we are open line for the final 19 minutes of the show here, 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or you can call toll free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. We were just talking about the Olympics with Jerry. We want to know what your favorite Olympic event is, and maybe do you have a favorite Olympic memory from all of the Olympics? Of course, we're looking at Summer Olympics right now because the opening ceremonies in London are this evening. But maybe your favorite moment is from the Winter Olympics. Of course, you know, a lot of people remember the Miracle on Ice team back in 1980. Do you remember where you were when you heard the news about the Miracle on Ice win in 1980? Give us a call at 355-9527. Or you can call toll-free at 877-952-7870. And the other question is, being from a northern climate like Michigan, do the Summer Olympics hold the same allure for you as the Winter Olympics do? You know, maybe the Winter Olympics means more to you because, you know, up here in the winter, we've got skiing. A lot of people skied in high school, maybe, or, you know, ski recreationally, definitely. Maybe you've done or tried a slalom course in your lifetime. Maybe that rings with you more than a track and field or a triathlon. So do you like the Winter Olympics more than maybe you like the Summer Olympics? Give us a call and we can talk about that as well. Speaking of calls, we'll go to the phone right now at 355-9527 and talk with Mr. Tate, who's calling from Atlanta. Is that Atlanta, Michigan or Atlanta, Georgia?
That would be the Peach State, Atlanta, Georgia.
All right. You guys hosted the Olympics back in 1996.
Absolutely.
Are we talking Olympics today?
We are talking Olympics. I just want to say I don't exactly have a favorite memory. I do have a favorite sport, but of them all, that would be basketball. So with that being said, I'm really excited about this year's Olympics. But the 92 Olympics, especially that basketball team, was absolutely phenomenal. There's been some comparisons to this year. Why? I couldn't tell you exactly why those comparisons have been made. But nevertheless, those were some of the best memories, I think, that with that 92 team. And I want to say I was only about 8 years old. For me to be that young and remember the on-average blowouts of, I want to say they were beating teams on average by about 43 points, and that's just on average. I think that it was absolutely phenomenal. Not sure if basketball will ever be the same way again, especially with all the parity and things like that of certain players and things going on as far as overseas play and things of that nature. But that is my favorite memory, and I'm really looking forward to this year's Olympics. Thank you so much for having me on and taking my call, and I'll keep listening to you.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Tate checking in from Georgia, all the way down in Georgia. Obviously, he is listening online at WKAR.org, which is an option for anyone. We are heard globally here. You know, the one thing that comes to mind when I think of that 92 basketball team, there's a soundbite that's been getting a lot of play lately. I saw a show last week on NBC. They put together a thing with the 50 top Olympic moments of Olympics that have been broadcast on NBC. They've been doing the Olympics since 92, I believe it was. Before that, it was the ABC network. But the quote was from Magic Johnson talking about that basketball team. He says, "I bring the ball down the court. I look one way and I've got Michael Jordan. I look the other way. I've got Larry Bird. I don't know who to pass the ball to." Yeah, that was just an incredible lineup of stars that made that team back in 1992. And the controversy that Mr. Tate had talked about, obviously, in case you've been in a cave for the last couple of weeks, there was a statement made that this year's team the Dream Team 6 or whatever it is now, that members thought that they were maybe even better than that 92 team. And of course, the members of the 92 team all said, they couldn't even carry the water bucket for us. Where do you fall in on that side of the argument? You can weigh in on that, 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-70 or 7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. I think the 92 team, the original Dream Team, even with the fact that they're in their 50s and 40s now, I think they still would win a game against just about any other group of basketball players. You know, I watched Magic play after his NBA days in my role with the Spartan Network. We saw him come to town a couple of times for exhibition games against the Spartans at the start of the basketball season when he could bring his Magic Johnson All-Star teams in. And I was never, it never ceased to amaze me the ability that he had, even though he wasn't playing at a competitive basis every day, still to get up and down the court and do the things that he could do. I do remember from my days as a student here, I had one opportunity only to see him play live. I came in and couldn't get student basketball tickets at Jennison Fieldhouse, but was walking past the north end of the fieldhouse one night right before a game, and there was a scalper outside who had two tickets and was only asking face value for them. And I turned to my buddy and I said, this is going to be our only chance. We got to get in there and see that. It was an early season game against Central Michigan University. Greg Kelser unloaded for about 40 points. And it was amazing. We were sitting right in the first or second row of the balcony, right behind the basket. You could see everything developing as it came down the court at you. It was just an absolute joy to be able to go in there and see that. And then at the end of that season, they win the national championship. On my birthday, my 19th birthday, and I gave up the opportunity to celebrate with family. I wanted them to drop me back off at my dorm so that I could watch with my extended family and join in the revelry here in East Lansing after the team won the national championship. And that's exactly what it was. It was just a joyous crowd that flooded Grand River Avenue that night. And it was something that I will always remember being a part of. 1:48 now on Friday afternoon here live on WKAR Radio. The phone number is 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or you can call toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. Let's talk a little bit more about the Detroit Tigers and their needs. We talked a little bit about it yesterday on the show, and I preface this with the comments that we talked about earlier in the show with Zach Greinke suddenly being available with a team. The Milwaukee Brewers obviously have decided that they are not going to be making a push to make the playoffs this season, so it's time to cut some of their losses. Greinke obviously will be a free agent, and rather than just lose him with no compensation, they are now entertaining offers for a pitcher of Zach Greinke's quality. There are voices out there that are saying they expect this to happen sooner rather than later. Davey Johnson from the Washington Nationals said, "I doubt that we'll see Zach Greinke pitch against our team this weekend. He's scheduled to pitch on Sunday. The trade deadline is Tuesday, and he expects Milwaukee to try to get something done before Greinke's next appearance for the Brewers, because why would you want to roll him out there and risk injury if you're looking to try to move him somewhere? So it may happen pretty quickly. Dave Dombrowski has made some good trades for the Tigers. He just recently picked up Omar Infante. The Tigers desperately needed somebody at second base who could connect with the ball a little bit more frequently. Omar Infante's numbers aren't eye-popping by any means, but they are better than what the Tigers had playing at that position. So they've made that move, but now there's a pitcher out there who could help the Tigers. And I know a week ago or so, people were saying, you know, hey, would the Tigers trade with the Chicago Cubs for Ryan Dempster? You know, would that be a possibility? Speaking of that situation, we know one of the teams that was interested in Ryan Dempster was the Atlanta Braves. They've been rebuffed in that one. So now they all of a sudden are interested in looking at Zach Greinke. Looks like the teams that are the most interested in this, the players, so to speak, in this sweepstakes would be the Atlanta Braves, the Los Angeles Angels out of the American League West Division, and the Texas Rangers out of the West. They desperately need another starting pitcher, and they have shown in the past that they are willing to put some money out there in front of pitchers and in front of other position players to bring them in to help them win their division this year. And, you know, that resonates with Tiger fans, because last year it was the Rangers and their ability to beat the Tigers in the playoffs that kept the Tigers from a spot in the World Series. So, you know, should the Tigers, knowing that the Rangers are interested in this player, should the Tigers be interested in doing it for not only for themselves, but to keep it away from a potential playoff opponent down the road? If you want to check in on that, our phone number is 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or you can call toll free at 877-952-7870. That's toll free at 877-WKAR-870. The lines are wide open, so give us a call and help us put this show together for the final 7.5 minutes here on a Friday afternoon. Some of the other things going on in the world of sports, looks like Ndamukong Suh is in the headlines once again, and not the way that he would like to be in the headlines. He's being sued for just more than $1 million by a woman who claims that she was injured in a December car crash in Oregon involving the Lions star. Sadia Van Winkle accuses Sue of negligence, recklessness, and intentional infliction of emotional distress in the suit, which her attorney says was filed in Multnomah County Circuit Court. Police said Sue was not impaired and was cooperative with officers following the December 3rd accident. In the following days, police said they had no plans to investigate the accident further after two women claimed they suffered injuries in the wreck. The suit accuses Sue of lying to 911 operators about whether anyone was injured. A message was left for Sue's attorney. It was not returned to the Associated Press. More news from the Associated Press. The Detroit Pistons will open next season at home against the Houston Rockets, and Jeremy Linsanity makes its debut at the Palace of Auburn Hills on October 31st. The team released its schedule on Thursday night. Detroit's home schedule also features games against the Miami Heat on December 28th, the Los Angeles Lakers on February 3rd, and the Oklahoma City Thunder on November 12th. The Pistons host the New York Knicks on March 6th. Detroit plays two home games each against the Chicago Bulls, the Boston Celtics, and the Orlando Magic. And some news that's close to my heart, at least. The Winter Classic, remember, that's coming up in downtown Detroit between Christmas and New Year's this year. I'll be down there along with the Spartan hockey team taking part in some of the fun down in the Motor City. They'll have an outdoor rink set up at Comerica Park. And the reason that is in the news is because Scotty Bowman, who won Stanley Cups with the Detroit Red Wings, he is one of four coaches set to participate in the alumni matchup in conjunction with the Winter Classic. Bowman and Barry Smith will represent the Red Wings against former Toronto Maple Leafs coaches Red Kelly and Pat Quinn on December 31st at Comerica Park in Detroit. The following day, current Red Wings and Maple Leafs, including Spartan alum John Michael Lyles, are scheduled to play at Ann Arbor's Michigan Stadium. Bowman has been part of 12 Stanley Cup winning teams, including 9 as a head coach. Kelly played on 8 Stanley Cup championship teams, 4 with Detroit and 4 with the Maple Leafs. That's going to be fun seeing John Michael Lyles and Justin Abdelkader both together on the ice for that Winter Classic at Michigan Stadium. Also going to be fun to see all the alumni playing down at Comerica Park, and then the Great Lakes Invitational will be there between Christmas and New Year's. And people have asked me about broadcasting an outdoor game. It'll be my 3rd. And luckily, the last time, the sight lines at Michigan Stadium, you could see everything. No problem seeing because you're up there so high. But with the way that that stadium is put together, the distance from the ice to where we were able to stand was substantial, let's say. Luckily, I breathed a big sigh of relief when the players came out for their opening warm-ups at the start of that game, because with the Spartans' new road jerseys with that dark green and the white names and numbers on the back, that stood out really well. And Michigan, with those incredibly, questionably ugly jerseys that they had with the wildlife on the front, they did put huge numbers on the backs of those sweaters. And that helped me out quite a bit. But the design of those jerseys still, I know it's a throwback jersey and everything, but boy, those were funny looking shirts, that's for sure. More news from the Associated Press. Michigan cornerback Terrence Talbot is leaving the team. The school confirms that Talbot's departure. He played only 2 games last season as a sophomore after appearing in all 13 games as a freshman. Had 15 tackles as a freshman, played on special teams last season. This may be a situation where he played as a freshman for one coach, they got a new coach, he came in, the new coach didn't think as much of his abilities or had recruited someone who was able to play in front of him, so Talbot has decided to leave. I am very curious about the timing of it. If he was going to leave, you know, what happened to make him think that now was the time to leave rather than last spring, where, you know, if he was feeling that way, you know, at least go somewhere where you can transfer and play in the spring game, at least where there's no rules against not playing, and be able to spend the whole team. Now he's kind of up against it as far as finding a place that will take him, especially after a season where he only played in a couple of games and mostly on special teams. So Terrence Talbot is done with his football career at Michigan. And here's some auto racing news for those of you who are into auto racing. Corvette will serve as the pace car for the Brickyard 400. The Corvette 206 will be driven by Hollywood star Ron Howard, Opie, from the Andy Griffith Show. It'll top out at about 198 miles an hour. Camaro will be used as pace cars for this weekend's other races in Indianapolis for the Grand Am and Nationwide Series. Those cars will have top speeds of 184 and 155. Chevy also unveiled that Camaro will make its nationwide debut next year. Company officials say that they have been developing the new car for 2.5 to 3 years and expect it to be competitive immediately. The Camaro will make its first nationwide series start appearance February 23rd at Daytona. Well, that's going to wrap up the show for today. I thank Megan Bauman and Stephen Parker for joining in and helping out. Also, Jerry from Hazlitt, thanks for your phone call, and thanks to you all for listening. We can't say thanks enough to Harold Beer for coming in and taking care of things behind the dials. You've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 on AM 870. Come back and join us on Monday. I believe Earl Robinson will be back on Monday. Have yourself a safe and pleasant weekend. We'll hear from you on Monday on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have fun, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.